Oh, there's Michelle. She's here. Okay, Michelle's here, Rebecca. Okay, so we got the... Jane will not be joining us. We have something of an agenda, I guess. We wanted to talk about a couple RFP ideas that... Oh, good. Oh, sorry. Waiting for Linda. Going back to Zoom has thrown me off. So I apologize to all who are expecting a solar meeting right now, but there was really no need for one anyway. First we wanted to talk about the disposition of 401 State Street. And Rebecca, as you pointed out, we had a resolution that we passed suggesting that it should be designated to be used for affordable housing. So take it from there.
I believe the resolution was early in 2020, maybe February or March 2020. And so in thinking about it, it seems like it might be time to issue an RFQ for development of the site. Mm-hmm. And thinking further on it, it seems like it's a good opportunity to think through how that property and other properties can fit into some kind of comprehensive plan for the city. Mm-hmm. So, Michelle, would you like to chime in?
I think the city has identified that as a spot for affordable housing, and our affordable housing development plan that, you know, Pioneer Progress is working on has identified that. And so, move forward.
So how do you suggest going for this RFQ? Are you proposing to write it or?
So Joe Chega, part of their contract scope of work was to give us like templates. So he gave me a template. So I can sub in the information we need and coordinate with anyone else. I know Kamal mentioned that Peter Bujnow likes to, you know, he has input. He's got a lot of experience sometimes.
Yeah, he's good at sort of all the technical stuff that you have to append to these.
Okay, so yes, I have a, I have a draft from Joe, and then I could talk to Peter about things that are more Hudson specific. Yeah. I guess one thing I want to ask is that the original resolution from the council says we define affordable as 30% of AMI. I want to know, I feel like, if you want, if there's a way to like amend that so that, you know, it can be a little more flexible than other levels.
Yeah. I mean, that resolution is not, you know, obviously not a binding document. I think just how the RFQ is phrased will really be the determination, because I think as Rebecca is shaking her head, because she agrees that, you know, we want to get a...
Nodding my head, not shaking my head.
I'm sorry. Shaking your head up and down, right? Nodding. As Rebecca is affirming with her affirmative nod we want to keep it broad in terms of the levels of affordability.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I think part of also the idea of an RFQ is to create more flexibility in what can be proposed by developers on the site. So rather than issuing an RFP, which basically is a proposal in a way.
And that's funny, since two of our solar people are here, and that was the kind of point we were, and that's just a side note, but that was the point of a RFEI as well. So anyway, moving back to this, So yeah, Michelle, I guess that you think you could have that done soon, and we could. So you want to pass it by Joe or not? We don't need to pass by Joe, but get no, Peter's
he
opinion.
He gave me like a template.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's great. Let's get that moving.
So would that go to informal? Can you walk me through the process?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, technically, it doesn't have to, but I think the policy here has been and should be that all documents like this do go to the informal and then the formal, you know, start in this committee, go to the informal and then get approved at the formal. So if you could, I don't know, do you think you could have it for October 12th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's and I can, you know, if anyone wants to look it over beforehand, if there's anything else you want to add.
Yeah. No, circulate it to, you know.
Okay.
And, cool. Then we could do that. What were some of the other things we need to talk about?
Well, I think that one of the things I wanted to bring up also another request for qualifications, which is what RFQ is, has to do with, you know, something that we've been talking about in properties committee for a while is the need to have some kind of assistance with a plan for development for the city. And, you know, so I think I would like to propose that we talk about putting together an RFQ for some kind of community planning group that could assist basically where the city doesn't have its own planning department and doesn't have, I mean, we have Michelle now, but she's only one person and has many responsibilities, you know, that are housing specific, that the city could really, try to basically create a kind of a relationship with, I'm getting my own feedback, sorry, with qualified planning people who can assist us with.
And this is, and we're talking here about just general development. We're not necessarily limiting it to any kind of housing or anything. This is just a...
No, you know, the city has properties that could contribute to economic development for the city, basically. Right. So, yeah, this is not just about housing, but about how will development proceed in the city. And so, you know, we've put in for a comprehensive plan grant so that and that planning process can be assisted by like relationships with consultants.
John has his hand up. John, is there something you wanted to ask?
Grace, exactly what you mean by that? I mean, it's sort of overlapping between what a comprehensive plan is and actually what, you know, a community development framework is. So I think if you're just looking at a comprehensive plan that's informed by those ideas, that's one thing, and I definitely support that. But I think the idea of this nebulous planning concept needs a little more fleshing out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, let's talk about it.
Great.
I think we definitely, as much as anybody, I believe, are aware that development should include, you know, widening our tax base as well as, you know, the need for housing. I mean, the point is, this is an open-ended development idea that isn't really a planner per se, you know, in terms of the comprehensive plan, but more about properties specifically. Does that refine it at all, in your opinion?
Michelle, do you want to?
I think, the circular discussion we've been having is what to do with the properties, and like we don't have the plan, mm-hmm. but the timeline for getting a comprehensive land is a plan. Comprehensive plan is like 2 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to wait for the grant. We got to go through our queue. And so what we could do is do like a, you know, a truncated community engagement planning process. And then we can use that and build that into our RFQ or RFP for the comprehensive plan and have those planners build off of that so that it's not like wasting anything, but more of taking a small step now to look at the current properties we have, use public engagement, planning, and then build off of that when we get into the comprehensive plan. So we can like not just be like, just not just like, what's the word? Waiting, right. Waiting around.
Do you have a draft RFQ for this idea too?
No.
So this will take a little more work.
Yeah, because I feel like we're still thinking about what it is that we want.
Right.
Not to be, well, I'll play devil's advocate for a minute. I mean, okay. We don't really have that many properties left to develop. Seems like quite a bit of, I mean, on the one hand, it's a very laudable goal, but it also seems quite a bit of effort to deal with, you know, a handful of properties, whereas getting a framework internally where we could vet proposals from developers, et cetera, mm-hmm. seems to be really important, and Rebecca's been doing that.
Well, you know, it's funny because There are properties that have been identified that would kind of surprise you. For example, going north on 2nd Street, there's a property that actually, I mean, basically, if you picture it, there's a big empty space there with trees, and then further is the field there behind it. Some of that, of course, goes with the school, but not much of it, I don't think. I'm not sure exactly since I don't have the picture in front of me.
Linda, Linda, can you try muting your thing? Because we're getting a little bit of like a feedback loop here.
Ah, I there think we that go.
Might be it.
It was either Linda or John. I'm not sure which one.
But, I think it was Linda.
Oh, sorry. Oh, she's shocked. Shocked. I was answering John. And there were a couple other... Oh, then there's, of course, the what most people perceive as undevelopable, but actually is developable. Developable. And that is the property across from north of Bliss. Not the part that's owned by Bliss, but the part to the west of it. Also a potential property. There is the cemetery property. It's the northwest corner, sort of, that's possible. There are two properties also bordering the cemetery on that it's not clear what they could be used for, if they could be used.
How close is that to the land that Colriso has? Because their mining plan goes right up to that boundary, doesn't it?
No. I don't think so.
But, it's pretty close.
We don't have a map here to look, but yeah, I mean, that would obviously make it not usable. But,
Northwest. Let's see. No, that's not right.
Oh, yeah, Northwest. Oh, I see what you're saying. No, Northwest, not Northeast.
Southwest.
Right. So there are these properties, and I guess what we need to do is come up with a list that various people have identified for us or mentioned, and then, you know, that would be incorporated into the RFQ. But to answer your question, John, we're not trying to sort of subvert the idea that we need a comprehensive plan. This would be just
I understand that. I meant more that if there isn't, if we're really just talking about a handful of properties.
It's not really. I mean, there's quite
a lot. Hold on, Rebecca. Until we do a zoning revision about the properties that we do own that can't really be developed under current zoning. That's what I was really just posing a question as a devil's advocate rather than saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to be thorough here.
Okay.
It's right now, rather not insignificant, but it's a small amount.
Yeah. So that's going to need some work in sort of defining the outlines and the properties. And as everybody knows that, you know, we applied for a comprehensive plan grant And without getting too specific, we have another potential grant from a private entity that would be willing to make up whatever we need to get that amount we need for a good comprehensive plan. Now, a couple of years ago, these things change, you know, but a couple of years ago, the Chazen person who was working with the DRI committee said, you know, a comprehensive plan could be had for $100,000. Well, that turns out to be a gross underestimate.
It's cheap.
It's cheap, and it really more is like $200,000.
Yeah, that would be cheap, too.
Well,
I mean, it's around there. It's like $250.
Yeah, right. So, in other words, even if we get the grant, we have to find that other money, and we have identified some potential grantors, I guess is the word. So that's, worth keeping in mind as well. But again, as Michelle pointed out, that's none of that, can happen, you know, that quickly. So we got one RFQ that, you know, we can we'll have in the works right away, and this one takes a little more work. What else did you want to bring up tonight, Rebecca, since you're kind of our point person for this ad hoc committee?
Really?
Let's straighten out something about the last meeting where, for whatever reason, it was completely misrepresented that we were trying to sell the five buildings. All we were trying to do was establish that we want to look for the title make sure we had the title and the whatever we already have for assessments for those buildings that we identified back then. Nothing other than 429 is really ready for any kind of... it's ready because, as has been announced on the city website, the code enforcement is in the process of moving to its new location as we speak. Although I think they might even be in there, fully in there, because I saw... It's so funny. Suddenly there's three trucks lined up in the three designated spots for Craig and his two other guys. Anyway, The other thing is I have to, you know, because I want to get back to that before. I know you guys have some things you want to talk about further. But that cemetery building, two things. I don't know if ever you caught this at our last informal, but there's an insurance settlement towards that building up near the water treatment plant of, I think it was $75,000. Now, as you recall, I mentioned when we were talking about the so-called Butterworth building that it had a very bad pipe break, mostly in the kitchen, as I recall last time I looked at it. And so I have to talk to Rob about, you know, how to use that money and make sure that it doesn't, you know, that it would enhance the value of the building, obviously. And the other key thing to that project or idea or whatever you want to call it, proposal, is we need a survey. And to do the survey, we have to identify, because it's, we need some proposals from potential surveyors before we can proceed with that, you know, and then get the money from the council. Excuse me. So that's in process as well. Now, I know I talked with Michelle about a couple other... I think, Rebecca, did you want to talk about STRs, short-term rentals, in terms of our property?
I just wanted to kind of put it on the radar of this committee that the December sunset period... is coming up soon, mm-hmm. ending, you know, the sunset period of allowable short-term rental.
The old law.
The old law, the mm-hmm. way the old world used to do it, is coming to an end. And that there's some additional services, I guess, or features to lodging revs that we're going to want to start to use in the city to basically enforce the law.
Right.
And that we will have to look into some kinds of properties that are potentially being run illegally, I guess would be the word.
I think as we talked about it, Rebecca, we also need to like clear up the nomenclature because just because someone calls their building a hotel doesn't mean it is a hotel.
Right. And so I've begun to try to get those definitions cleared up about, well, what is a hotel? What constitutes a hotel? And what
falls clear in the code.
No, it's not.
That's clear in the code. Yeah, it is. It's, you have to provide certain services, et cetera, et cetera. You pay taxes to New York State. There's a whole...
Yeah, but I mean, which code are you talking about?
Well, our city code defines where it is. And then if you're registered as a hotel in New York State, I believe you have to
correct. Provide a solution. Right. That's what we're trying to determine, what the state rules are, not, you know, because there's this other category of an inn that seems to be a way of skirting around maybe short-term rental laws. We're not sure.
That's possible. But I mean, if you're calling yourself a hotel and you're benefiting from that, I think you're paying... you're paying a sales tax on the rooms.
Yeah, but here, John, they're calling themselves a hotel, but they're not being registered as a hotel because.
Well, no. Well, we don't know.
We don't.
Right.
Well, that's what Craig told me.
Oh.
This one. The what's it called? The Amelia Hotel. On Allen Street.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a hotel.
It's on Allen Street.
According to Craig.
Well, okay. Yeah, we got to double check that.
Yeah. So that's what we're trying to figure out here. And then, Rebecca, you talked to the lodging revs guy today, no? Or not?
I did, and he's going to be getting back to me. He didn't get to me with a report about basically, you know, what does our current compliance look like from their perspective, and what are some of the features that they have that we can put into practice in the coming year.
So, that's good.
Yeah. I emailed Craig yesterday, but he's, you know, very busy right now. But then we can compare the list of what he has registered and what the lodging revs have, and we can sort out who's registered on what and who's not on any list, and then maybe that can help us.
Yeah. Now, is lodging revs going to be able, Rebecca, to tell us who's still operating without an owner living there?
Who's yes, they can. They can correlate like listings that are whole house listings with the registrations.
Okay.
And they can keep track of like how many, like, so our law says, for example, that if somebody is a second home owner in Hudson, they have a certain number of nights a year that they can.
I'm more concerned about a couple of buildings that I think are just continuing to operate as full Airbnb buildings.
That are not registered, or just that the whole house is a short-term rental.
Right.
That's what lodging revs does. They track that kind of that activity and you know, so we have a dashboard that we can use to get that information on a daily basis. We can see every day what the listings are. And
That's good news. What else did we want to... I remember you mentioned... Did you mention something else we were...
Daycare?
Oh, yeah. So the latest on daycare is, for those who don't know, is we are going to go for a grant to repair the daycare center. We have no intention of throwing them out. what we're trying to do, though, is not have the city to have to pay a ton of money to repair it. So we're going for a grant. And I think, didn't you, I think this is a grant we'll hear from pretty quickly. Is that the idea? Yes, no?
I think by early 2022.
Oh, I thought it was soon. Okay.
That's pretty soon, really, as grants go.
Oh, yeah. It's already like the end of, yeah, I know. You're right.
It's October tomorrow.
I know.
My understanding was that we would actually know if we got the award fairly quickly because it's through the, it's an expansion of our CBDG.
That's what, that's
grant,
right. Yes.
Which, and the Office of Community Renewal has been like very positive about our application so far. So I'm hopeful that we'll know if we get the money actually sooner than we get the money, which would be in March or April probably.
Oh, so we'll know early, even if we don't get the actual money. So, and I know that they're trying to get extensions. There's some problem that if they're not operating, they lose their license. But that's like, I don't, you know, how can we help? We can't renovate it. Even if we were to pay ourselves, the chances of getting somebody in there to do all the work in time might not work. You know, might not meet the deadline. So I think that's kind of incumbent upon them to do that. You know, I mean, they got to do something in this project, this whole thing to help themselves. You know, I mean.
Yeah. And I think as soon as we can get a positive declaration that we will be able to support the renovation, that can help them with their case.
Oh, good. That's what I was hoping you would be the case. Excellent. So what do we need? Do we need anything in terms of, in terms of the application, what do we have to do? I mean, what do you have to do? What do we have, you know, the council, whatever.
So our grant writer consultant Bill is going to be visiting the property on Saturday morning.
Great.
And he's bringing a code specialist with him who has done the estimations for the rest of the application so far.
Oh, that's fantastic. So
we should be able to get a pretty solid number in terms of the cost. Great. For the repairs needed. He said he was also going to get an engineer who he knows involved in this particular thing. It does mean that our application, which we were hoping to submit on Monday, will be a bit delayed. We're probably going to be submitting in like a week and a half or so in order to get everything together around the daycare project specifically. Because they want the office wants to have us apply for the maximum amount of money up front rather than trying to amend it later on.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna apply probably mid October, and then the board of that office would meet and vote on it in December, and we'd probably hear back soon after that.
So that's great news. And obviously, you've cleared all this at the state end, in terms of.
Mm-hmm.
It's all
doable. So the state said that we don't have to do another public hearing process. The one we did for housing was sufficient to cover this.
That's good news too.
Yeah.
So that expedites it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll just check the New York State law real quick. In communities under 50,000 people, hotels or temporary lodging places have to register with the county health department, so that'd be a pretty quick way to find out whether or not any hotel operating in Hudson, Danville, or whatever is actually a hotel. Or
so are you saying that if they registered with that, they
to be a hotel, you have to be inspected by some health party to meet the permit requirements under New York State law. So we don't do that in our city, given our size. So the county would have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like within a law. So that would be a way to quickly check whether or not any entity in Hudson is using a hotel and their surname has applied for a permit.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Or so, has a permit.
So
that seems like a way to check quickly.
Yeah, county health. County health department.
Great.
How did you find that, John? Did you actually access New York State code on that? Okay. Can you You know, I always have heard anecdotally that there's all kinds of rules about B&Bs too, and I've never been
able to. I've heard that too, but I know the main distinction that people use. I mean, the sales tax for one, since Airbnbs don't have to
pay
pay sales tax. I guess they do it voluntarily now. But hotels, you have to charge sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
I think, as I understand it. I mean, they all do it. And then there's this Department of Health regulation that's really tight, where they're making sure that, you know, the kitchens are clean if they have kitchens, if you're providing linen, yada, 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 all the facilities are clean. So,
I guess I'm curious whether there's any regulation about essentially that a hotel has to have an office on the premises, like some kind of.
I mean, I don't know, but if you want to, I'm sure these things are amended all the time in Albany, but you just go to the general laws mm-hmm. section, and then you type in, I forgot, it's like our subsection.
Mm-hmm.
I could send you a link, but you'll just go through the list of amendments that specify the hotel regulation.
Cool. What else do we have in mind? I know we talked about this the other day a little bit. Was there another topic that any of you had in mind for this? I know we've covered existing buildings that, you know, that are, we're trying to assess and establish, you know, exactly what their status is, if we have clear title to everything, which is always good to have on hand if a sale eventually happens. I guess that's it then. Yes? Anybody?
I think so.
Anybody who's not on this group have a question or anything?
Thank you for your thankless work. It's great to sit in.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Because you're right. It does seem so thankless sometimes.
We'll get our rewards in the next life.
Wow. Can you guarantee that?
I spoke to the supervisor. God.
And she said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so no questions. Thanks, everybody. I think, getting that RFQ done is going to be a big step forward. And looking towards those other projects will get us moving too. You know, I mean, I don't think, it seems like, you know, in the time that I've been aware of these properties and everything, we've had very little movement in the past, you know, or any incentive to really, I mean, my initial incentive, of course, was when we thought we were in deep financial trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess, you know, just to say, I do think that the desire to kind of hold off from, you know, making, discrete decisions, I guess, would be the discrete, you know, ETE decisions is what I've been pushing forward, so that, if we're going to do anything with any property, that we're doing it with some kind of fabric that it's part of, so that because it is so important, because as John pointed out, there isn't much property, but what there is going to be very important to the city, like how it's developed. And I think that, you know, properties will be developed with the way things are going.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I said what I'm.
And we have a sense that in the private realm, there's a lot of things happening.
For sure.
You know, there's private properties of significant size and interest that are seem to have some activity involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so who knows what's going to happen with that? And of course, many of those, from what we hear, they're mainly developers and people who are interested in working with the city, you know. They want to be part of a plan, not just do their thing on their own.
Yeah, and that's something also that, you know, a sort of a planning group could bring to the city is to actually create essentially like a, sorry, I don't have the language for this very well, but, you know, create a rubric. It's not a rubric exactly, yeah. But to get everything in order so that we don't actually have to have a conversation with each developer that's approaching the city. We don't have to again redefine, like, here's what we require from a developer, here's blah blah blah. Like, so in a sense it creates it's better for both the city and for developers to have like some kind of understanding of what the city's requirements are from developers, what our zoning is,
Well, that's what we understand. I mean, that's what we've seen with the SHAP, that, you know, it's something to refer to when you want to propose something, you know, about housing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why you have these plans. That's why we need to get the LWRP back in action somehow and get it done. You know, as soon as we get the money to do what we have to do with that. I don't know. I don't want to bring it up here, you know, randomly, but I know that, you know, it takes money to do the step that they want us to do.
What is the step they want us to do again?
They want us to redo the public input.
Ah, that shouldn't be so hard, should it?
We're talking about the LWRP.
I know. But I mean, is the public input, do you mean public engagement? Like the,
yes, the whole public input process. Because that's what all the complaints were about the first time.
There are a lot of comments for the LWRP the first time.
Right.
But a lot of them revolved around the zoning in the South Bay, and those comments were pretty much ignored by city council at the time, who's still around. But
yeah, I mean, yeah, that was how it got stymied stopped or whatever. But, you know, that has to be looked at again because it's a key part of our planning. You know, it's going to be the waterfront and the areas around the waterfront.
So unlock lots of funding.
Exactly. That's the main thing, right? Okay. Anything else? Thank you all. I'm sorry to Hillary in particular, who's probably looking for a solar meeting and got a properties meeting. But I know Hillary's interested in everything that happens in the city.
I am. Thank you.
I was waiting for you to say something.
Okay, no, I'll get my face on there. Hi.
And by the way, totally tangential to this, but congratulations on getting an application in yourself today for trees.
Well, thank you. A special thanks to Michael Hoffman.
Michael. I didn't know that he had something to do with it.
Well, he had to scramble because I was in error. I didn't think we needed a letter from City Hall. And we had 3 hours to go, and he got it done, and I got it out. And I didn't want to turn on my video for the meeting because I'm really fried. I was up late.
So
I will never squeeze writing a grant into 36 hours again.
Should we tell people to come back for the CAC meeting next week so they can learn what we're actually talking about?
Yes, tune in to the CAC meeting next week. It'll be Tuesday, and we have all sorts of exciting things to share.
Okay, great.
And Linda, I was going to send you an email, but do we have minutes from our last meeting? Okay, cool.
Okay, so this is my next effort to end this meeting.
Okay, I'll leave.
You don't have to leave. Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, all. Thank you. Thank you, Hillary. Thanks, everybody. Bye.